Amen. Greetings, church. Amen. Before we forget, we wanted to go in prayer for those special prayer requests. Mary, my aunt, Tim's wife, Mary Sparks. Stevie, you may not know her, my uncle's ex, I guess. Brother Frank, we're going to pray tonight. Yes. And Randy, let's remember Randy. Amen. Let's just look to the Lord right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue. We thank you, Lord, for your power, God. We thank you, Lord, that you told us to make our petitions known. Lord, we ask you, Lord, touch each and one of these individuals. Lord, touch Brother Frank tonight, Lord. God, encourage this man. Lift up our brother. Lord, I pray, give us a good report. I'm going to believe for a good report. Which report do you want to believe? I'm going to believe in the Lord. God, you're the one, Lord, that saves us. You're the one that heals us. You're the one that made us, Lord. And I pray tonight for healing today. Lord, heal him. Touch Mary. Lord, touch her also. Sister Mary Sparks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lift her up, God. Make her whole, Lord. I pray, Lord, lift up her spirit, Lord, and let her realize you are a God of that made us. You're a God that can heal us, Lord. We pray for Stevie, Lord. God, touch her in Jesus' name, Lord. Lift her up, God. Speak to her heart. I hope she goes to church. I hope she's looking to you as the answer, Lord. And I pray for that, Lord. Send somebody to where she's at in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Brother Randy, God. Continue and strengthen this man, this servant, this man that has a burden. Amen. This preacher, Lord, our brother Randy, Lord, lift him up in Jesus' name, God. Take away any pain. God, let him fully recover. Hallelujah. There's a job to be done, and I pray, God, lift him up, lift his spirits in Jesus' name. Will you say amen? Will you say it again? Amen. Hallelujah. I feel good. How about you? Amen. I'm glad to be in church. How about you?
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
We do want to extend a welcome. If you're just joining us on Facebook, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And, of course, everybody that's here, good to see you all. Amen. Where's that man that was baptized Sunday? Rigo, are you here? Amen. Well, let's keep praying for Rigo. Amen. And Alma, amen. They're not here, but they got baptized. They've both been baptized in Jesus' name. And we need to lift them up in prayer. And hallelujah. Didn't we have a good time Sunday? Heard a wonderful message. Well, I've been asked to preach, and I want to be faithful. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, reading in verse 19. We do want to give honor to our pastor. Amen. Good to see him. My mother, Sister Sparks, good to see everybody that's here. Thank you for coming to Wednesday night Bible study. A lot is going on around here, you could tell. I come in here, I like to smell the wood. Isn't that a strong smell? Amen. Well, it's taking place, and we can see it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed, everybody say washed, with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That's God. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That day is coming, folks. It's approaching. It's like you could look out here and you can see the airplanes way out there, especially on a dark night. And you can see them. They're on approach. They'll be here in a matter of a few minutes. The Lord's coming soon. We're going to ask our pastor to pray. Amen. And I want to preach for the next few moments on why I go to church. Why I go to church. You may be seated. You could go to a lot of places in this world. Of course, lately they don't want you to go anywhere. You can go to the store. You can go to the restaurant. They're starting to open up. You can go to the gym. You could go to the park. You could go to your job if you're allowed. You can go to the lake. You can go hiking. You can go see nature. You could climb on top of a mountain. You could go to the moon if you had a rocket and a lot of money. Well, you need both. You need a lot of money and a rocket. You could go to somebody else's house. You can go to the institutions that man has put up. Museums. Music halls. Universities. Laboratories. You could go to schools or colleges. Okay. You could go to a lot of places. That's the point. You could also stay at home. And it seems like society's starting to stay at home a lot more. And not just because of the COVID. Although, that's a big reason why. A lot of people were told and that was just fine with them. And it's okay for many people to sit at home with their electronic devices. And the hours go by. I'm speaking the truth. I'm human. I'm there. I'm seeing what's going on. I see what happens in my own house. But the Bible talks about going to church. Going to church. And I'm not preaching this just so that we could take up another offering. So we could build another addition, an expansion. So that the pastor can buy a new car. That's not why I'm preaching. And that's not really why I go to church. Not really. Not even close. But the Bible talks about going house to house in doctrine, in steadfastness, in prayer, with wonders and signs and in gladness. And listen to this. Can you put up Acts 2 and 40? Acts chapter 2, verse 40. We know what Acts 2 and 38 says. 2 and 40. 40. 2:40. Well, let's... And with many other words. There it is. Did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is the early church. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Everyone say temple. And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. You know what the big difference is? The attitude and the reason why we go to church. Emphasis here is upon prayer, steadfastness, signs and wonders, spiritual things that are happening with gladness of heart. People looking forward to a moving of the Holy Ghost. People looking for healing, for praise, for revival, to worship the Lord. That's what the church is. It's not just a building. I guess in a lot of times we say over at the church, can you pick me up and take me to church? And we need to get to church because we're running late. But you know what the church is? More than that, it's not just a building. It is why we go there. That sounds confusing, but I'll hope to clear it up a little bit. It's that place of revival. It's that place where we go to say, God, increase my faith. I go to church because I want my faith to be increased. You know, I won't get it in this world. I could walk up and down the aisles at Walmart, but my faith will not be increased. It might be decreased. Looking at all that stuff, so much stuff that I could probably do without. I need my faith lifted, my spirit lifted. I go to church because I want to be saved. How about you? I go to church because I want to be saved. It's easy to stay at home, isn't it? Just plop up there on a pillow and pull out your iPhone and get your daily dose of the internet. Is that what you want? That isn't going to lift your faith. Sure, that's interesting, and things around the world and things that people have done. But I'll tell you what, I want to know what God is doing and what God has already done. How about you? Going to the ball game doesn't lift my faith in God. Watching the ball game at home doesn't lift my faith. Think about it. How many people are watching the soccer game, the volleyball game, the basketball game, the golf game? And they're into it. Otherwise, why would they be watching it? A lot of people say, man, that's the boringest thing ever. And some people, they're into it. Wow, let's see what's going to go on. Let's see how they're doing. Because I heard that player so-and-so wasn't feeling good or whatever. What if we had that same kind of attachment to the things of the Lord? Well, I wonder what, you know, because over in the book of Exodus, it said this. You know, it's the same God that took them out of Egypt is the same God we worship when we go to church. Wow. Will God take us out of Egypt again? You're going to work. Won't lift my faith. You know, I got to break free from work. That's one of the weaknesses I have, is just to work, and it's so easy to get, wow, I'm getting ahead. I'm getting caught up. One of these days, I'm going to realize I've been lied to. Seems like chasing something that you can never catch. You know, If you're that way, if you're a workaholic, let me tell you, there's some good things. You're going to get a lot done. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to lift your faith. You need to stop and go to church. There's a time to turn off the computer, lay down the hammer, put down the shovel, put down whatever it is, and go to church. Lord, I need something for my soul. God, I need you to feed my soul. I go to church because I want to hear about the things of the Lord. I go because I want to hear about the doctrines of this Bible. And I'll tell you why that's so important. I was reading tonight in one of a Bible study I have, and it was talking about the Bible. What's some of the, you know, the Bible? What's the Bible say about the Bible? Well, you know what? The Bible stands apart from any other book. It is so much different. The Bible is the only book that I know that qualifies itself. It's kind of like a parent saying, because I said so. Well, why? Because I said so. And it's because it's me saying so. Well, you're the parent. You get to say so. You know, when I was a kid, my mom said, because I said so. Did you? I don't remember that, but she probably did. And I know I've said that. There's some times when, okay, enough of talking and discussion. You're not going to change. We need to move on. You can't have my phone because I said so. Because there's other things I want you to do right now. I want you to go get ready for church. I want you to go water the plants. Where's my daughter? She forgot to water the plants today. I just remembered. Everybody got their mom a little plant thing. Well, hey, were there seeds in that dirt? Huh? Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we'll have to water them when we get home. The Bible says is the authority on all things. I like that. You know why? I don't need to go to some other, well, maybe the Bible was a little bit off on this point. Maybe the Bible can't be trusted. Maybe the Bible just doesn't know. You could throw all those excuses out. Why? God is the author of the Bible. God Himself. He's the one that made all things. The Bible says that holy men of old spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost, moved on those men and they began to write. You know, the book of Acts, the book of Hebrews, Genesis. God speaking to us, telling us why. Telling us everything that we need to know. Does the Bible answer every single question? Oh, you probably have some things that maybe the Bible doesn't even talk about them. But I'll tell you what, the Bible tells us everything we need to know how to be saved. And that's why I go to church. Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do I need that? Can I throw that out of my Bible? No, that's God talking. That's some doctrine that you and I need. And it's reinforced. It's repeated throughout the Bible. The new birth message is throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, this Bible is about the new birth. If you really want to look at it one way, it's about me dying out to my sins, dying out to self, and being born again. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't get that going to the ball game. You won't get that going to the workplace, going to Walmart. You're going to get that because you opened your Bible or you went to church and a preacher was preaching what thus saith the Word of God. Someone say hallelujah. The central core of this Bible is talking about God. Everything you know about God, guess where it came from? Everything I know about God, Pastor, it's by reading this. It's by hearing, having a pastor that preaches out of this here book and other ministers. Amen. Everything I know, Brother Villarosa, about salvation, you know where it comes? The YouTube. Somebody's, you know, what do they call it? Memes? Are they memes or memes? That don't tell me about salvation. Why not just make things easy? Pick up your Bible. And you can read about what thus saith the Lord about how to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I want to point something out. Paul instructs us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And he goes on to say, as the manner of some is. Boy, doesn't that apply to the last year? They have said, do not assemble yourselves in the house of the Lord. Do not go to church. And if you do go to church, you have to, you know, do all this. And in fact, we really don't want you to go to church. And on and on. We've heard about that. I wonder if this is going to continue. I'll tell you one thing. The devil don't want you to go to church. The devil doesn't want you to read this Bible, hear anything about it. And I'll tell you what, I think as the day approaches, he is getting more desperate and more desperate. The Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Now, the nature of a lion isn't, you know, niceties. It's not gentle. No, it's ferocious. Matter of fact, a lion, one of the most powerful weapons he has is his roar. Why? Because he wants to try to distract you. He wants you to become just rattled. He wants you to become afraid and in panic and fear. And hopefully run right out into his jaws. I guess it works. Because lions still roar. There is a devil that has a roar. Does the devil actually do any physical damage? You know, I believe this, and Pastor could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he has to go to God and ask for permission before he could do something like that. That's what I believe. I don't believe that he could just come over there and just beat up on us. Number one, we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against those that are full of the Holy Ghost. So it seems very odd that the devil could just do anything he wants. Don't forsake yourselves. Paul is saying, hey, some people are going to say, stop going to church. Just, you know, you can watch the church on YouTube. Well, we're thankful that you've tuned in. But I'll tell you what, you should come here. You should come because it's different. Because once you're here, maybe it's a little harder to leave. Maybe God wants you to hear something that's going to touch your heart. You know, there's been times that I've sat in church and I've heard the preacher preach. And he preached things that were a little bit uncomfortable to me. But I needed it. I needed somebody to look into my life and say, hey, listen, you need to straighten up. You need to look to the Lord. You need to have some faith. You need to stop playing around with the world. Sometimes we I'm just going to turn that off. I don't like that. Click. Go ahead, commit yourself. Come to the house of the Lord and say, God, whatever it is, Lord, I'm giving you myself. Speak to me. Preach to me, Lord. It might be uncomfortable, but I want to be saved. Is that your prayer? The Bible says that the road to hell is paved. The road to hell is broad. It's a broad way, and many go therein. Go there. How's it say? At. Many people are going down this broad way. The way of salvation is a narrow path. You know, don't give up. Don't just say, well, another day, I'll make it to church. I'll go some other time, some convenient time for me. When I get my life right, when I make $1 million. Paul says this. He says, we go to church to exhort one another. You see that word, exhort? I looked that up in the dictionary. It means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. If I'm going to exhort you to buy this book, it's a song book, then I'm going to compel you to buy it. In my mind, you have to buy this book. And you have to buy it now. It's high pressure sales. Why? Because this book is good. It's full of songs. It'll make you happy. It will. Sing unto the Lord. I'm going to compel you. I'm going to try to tell you. So maybe I'll read one of the, sing one of the songs to you. Not that one. Let me get one to. Well, there's one in here. It's page 219. Higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's tableland. There's a table in heaven. The tableland. I'm going to try to convince you that you have to buy this book. You know what? When we go to church, we need to be convinced of a few things. And we need to convince some others. Matter of fact, can you go back and pull up, a verse? Acts chapter 2, verse 46. I want to go back to that and look where it says exhort. Acts 2 and he says this. Yeah, it says it there. I think it says it somewhere else, though, too. You just find exhort. Amen. They exhorted each other with many other words. Did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. You know, when we come to church, we need to be encouraged by each other. I go to church because I want to encourage somebody else. How would you like to encourage somebody else? I would like to convince you, don't sell out on the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up prayer in your life. You need prayer. You've got to have prayer. You need to be at church. Bring your children to youth service. I'm going to try to exhort and convince you. That's what exhort means. Strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. You know, I kind of see a lot of churches, they're too casual. Maybe it's because they need the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost is like a fire. Who was it? Jeremiah. He said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. It's like my bones are on fire. Amen. Something's urging me. Something's moving me. Moving me to go speak to somebody. Moving me to go do something. Go over to somebody and pray with somebody else. Holy Ghost. Amen. We stop going to church. Pretty soon you kind of get a little lazy. I'm not going to go talk to nobody. I don't feel like it right now. Pretty soon, when are you going to? Well, someday, but not today. I'll tell you what, we need to get out of the lethargy. Get out of an attitude of putting things off when it's for the kingdom of the Lord. You know, sometimes we won't put things off when, I got to change the oil in my car. I don't want to put that off. I can't put that off. I'll tell you what, you could put that off before you ever put off going to church. I hope you'll be convinced of that. I go to church because I need this same exhortation. I need somebody to say, I'm praying for you, brother. Hang in there. Keep coming. Hey, we live in a world that knocks us down and knocks us out and kicks us in the gut. You know, I'm speaking in, what's the word? Allegorically. This world runs us down. We take a beating sometimes. I know I get a beating sometimes on my job. They want this, and then they want it, and then they want it now, and then they change it an hour later. And I'm like, I'm going to charge you more money, but, what can I do? You know, I could go to church. I could say, Lord, lift me up. Lift me up, and let me stand on heaven's tableland. I need to be exhorted. I need somebody to encourage me. I need to realize that this life is not the end game. Is that the right word? This life is not it. It's not my home. If it's a home, it's a very, very temporary one. It's like staying at a motel for one night. We're going home one of these days forever and ever and ever. Don't let your job get you down. Don't let your kids and things of life get you down. Go to church and be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Someone shout hallelujah. And go to church expecting to be encouraged. Go to church ready. Say, I need that encouragement. Maybe the best way is to start encouraging somebody else. Encourage somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you could watch YouTube and like you're watching right now on Facebook, a preacher. But you know what? It's different when you're watching it and you're not here. I don't know how else to say that. But when I come to church and there's a fired up preacher, I feel it. And you're in the same place. You know, when if you read that Acts chapter 2, they all had everything in common. They had all things common. They were in the same mind. They were in a unity. When we come to church, we need to be in that same unity, that like-mindedness. We bind together for healing. Come on, let's all get together. We're going to pray for somebody. We're going to believe somebody. Come on, somebody, come over here. Somebody's trying to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs encouragement. You don't know how much it means when you're praying and you're looking for an answer. You're seeking the Lord and somebody comes by and puts their hand upon your shoulder. And somebody else comes there and you don't know who it is and it don't matter. Because you're all in one accord. One accord. And I'm not talking about a car. I'm talking about a unity in the house of the Lord. Someone say, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, well, we can watch YouTube and we're at church. And then you can flip it and go over here and there. And then you could go to Amazon. And you know what? It's not the same, folks. You need to go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three, I go to church to repent. There's no better place to repent than and look at yourself in the mirror than at an altar. Oh, but I could always repent. You know, there was a time I wanted to pray, and I just felt like I wanted to pray, and it was on an off church night. And so I got in my car. I had this Super B, big old Charger, and I drove way up Sahara and looking for a place to get away so I could pray. And Sahara at that time was just wasn't much out there. They started building the lakes. Remember the lakes? They were starting to build the lakes way up there. That was way out there. And cars are kind of coming and going. But in between there and the rest of the city was just desert. I pulled off the road there and just, you know, wasn't ever any place to go. And I opened the door and I'm looking for a place and I'm trying to hold the door open. I knelt down there. I'm trying to pray. And cars are coming by and going by. And something wasn't right. I couldn't get into a frame of prayer, but oh, my spirit wanted to pray. I wanted to touch the Lord. I wanted to speak in tongues. I want to just appreciate Him, and I wanted Him to reach back and say, "You're my child. Yes, you're mine. Everything's going to be all right. Yes, amen. You're on the right track. Keep on. Keep going. Keep going." Sometimes we say, well, I'll just sit at home and I'll be, you know, renewed. But I'll tell you what, something's missing. Find that altar. Find somebody to pray. Put their hand on your shoulder and say, "God, renew me. Give me that assurance. Fill me with your presence. Give me the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Well, I'll pray here at home. You should. We should. But don't make praying at home a substitute for going to church. Because Paul said, Peter said, what did he say? Forsake not the assembling together. Paul did, Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting. There's where it was. Exhorting. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. You know, folks, there's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of ideas. And now hey, we're at 5G. Fifth generation of internet, whatever that means. You know, we're all connected. But you're not connected to the Lord. I don't think the Lord is hooked on 5G or 4G or 40G. I don't care how fast the internet gets, they still won't reach the Lord. No. Reaching the Lord isn't that way. I don't think they want to reach the Lord. But I do. What's in the future? If God should tarry, maybe you'll just appear. You know, right now, nobody goes to meetings. We just have them online. Online meetings. I go to them all the time. I don't show myself. I just call in and, you know, I can hear them. I can see them. And it's pretty convenient, I have to admit. Pretty soon, maybe it'll be so lifelike to go to a Zoom meeting. You'll be there. Maybe you'll go to school. Well, you are going to school right now on Zoom. But maybe in the future, it'll be so lifelike that the internet will be the medium. What about church? Maybe that's the devil's plan. He don't want you to come to church. Too many things happen. Amen. Who got baptized in a church? I want to see a show of hands. If you got baptized in a church, raise your hand. Or outside the church in the parking lot. Go ahead. All right. I know some many young people got baptized in a swimming pool. But you know what? That was the church at the time. Who got baptized in a swimming pool? There's a few. A jacuzzi. That was the church. How many of you got the Holy Ghost in a church or at a camp meeting or at a youth meeting or outside the church? So we get rid of the church and everybody put your hand down that raised it. Yeah, I think I know what the devil's up to. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, he wants to keep us out of church. He really does. Finally, I want to close on this. I go to church to hear about the doctrine of this Bible. The doctrine. The Bible, the word doctrine means teaching. God wants us to know a few things. God wants us to understand. You know, my son, get understanding. Get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. God is all about us understanding some things. We need to understand some things about the spiritual world. And the Bible's full of doctrine about that. The Bible's full of doctrine about the salvation message. Who's actually doing the work here? It was God that did the work. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Whose blood was it that took my sins away? You know, I hit my finger the other day and shed some blood. Did that do it? That didn't do it. But here was a spotless lamb. Here was the Lamb of God that gave his blood. His blood that takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist said. Doctrine and teaching. Romans 10 and 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we cannot be saved without faith. Faith is that thing that makes us believe. It is belief. If you have faith in God, you believe something about God. You believe that God can. You believe that God exists. Maybe you believe that God is coming back for you. Person without faith is like the world. Lost. Who's thankful for faith? You know, God gave us a little bit of faith to start with, I believe. And that's why I think the people that maybe have never heard anything about the Lord, they still have something in them. They look up there and they look at the moon and they believe in somebody. Somebody that is awesome. Somebody that is powerful. Amen. God gives them a little bit of faith, but it's our job to make that faith grow. And here's how it grows. It grows when we hear about God. When we read his word, when a person up and preaches a message from this Bible that preaches about, you know, Job and his struggles, and reads from the Bible about Joseph, about his travels, how he was a type of Christ. Preaches about the, like Brother Randy Bent was preaching about the Beatitudes, Jesus preaching. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed, what are the Beatitudes? Amen. Blessed are those. Blessed are the meek. Thank you. They'll inherit the earth. This builds faith. It builds faith. You know, I think the devil knows that if he could keep you from hearing God's word, your faith will begin to drop. And if he keeps telling you something else that maybe isn't really the truth, but he keeps telling you and telling you and telling you and telling you, maybe you'll start to believe it. Will that work? You know something? If somebody's always telling you lies all the time and you know it, is that good? Think about that. What if somebody came around and was just always telling you half-truths and telling you things that you know that it's not really, really truthful? And maybe you put up with it. You know, that's exactly what happens on the internet. That's what exactly what happens in a lot of literature, movies, television. It's full of it. And we turn it back on and, oh yeah, okay. Okay. One of the worst things told to our children today in schools is that there's no God. They've omitted God entirely. And they have gone in and talked about how everything happens outside of God, without God. The worlds were created without God. We don't want to talk about God. You were even created. You came to be. No, we don't want to talk about God. You know, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Who made us? God. Well, my mom did. My dad did. God made your mom and your dad. God brings life. God did it. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Pretty soon we keep heaping to ourselves. The Bible says, teachers having itching ears, tell me something other than about the Lord. What's going to happen? You're going to lose your faith. I'll lose my faith in God, a God that did all things, a God that created all things, a God that saves. Amen. You know what we need? We need a steady diet of the Word of God. Amen. Think about it. We need to just have a steady diet of the Word of God. You know how you need a steady diet of good things? Good things that you eat and also good things that you do. Good habits. Maybe a little exercise. Maybe walking. A diet of good things. And it needs to be a steady thing. If you don't have a good diet, we know what's going to happen. Pretty soon all you eat is potato chips and drink Pepsi, and you just sit on the couch all the time and you don't get up. And, you know, one day you may not be able to get up. Isn't that the truth? Everybody know what I'm talking about? You're going to gain weight, or maybe if you're not eating the right stuff, you're going to lose weight. Some people, it goes the other way. You're going to lose energy. Same thing with this Bible. We need to have a steady intake. I'm going to ask the piano player to come. I'm just about done. We begin to read the Bible, and that's why I go to church. I want to hear God's Word. I want to hear something that's going to lift me up. I want to hear something that's going to help me. Maybe it'll lift me up, and maybe it's also going to just make me think. Maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't. And a preacher gets up and he preaches from this Bible. I'm going to hear something and it's going to do me some good. What's this Bible full of? A lot of good things. I want to point out just a few. You read the Bible, you're going to read about long-suffering. How our God is long-suffering. Isn't He? Hey, He puts up with you and me. For me, for sure, God, you've got to be long-suffering. You know something? I'm going to go from this church service after reading and hearing about long-suffering, and I might say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and have a little patience with somebody else. Isn't that good? Hey, this is a selfish world. Very selfish. It's all about me and what I, I can't give you anything of myself. I can't give you my time. I can't give you any of my resources. I can't give you any of my anything. It's mine. That's this world. You know, the Lord's not that way. Lord's a giver and a giver and a giver. And even when we don't deserve it, he keeps on giving. Even when we don't deserve another chance, God is long-suffering. Think about it. When I go to church, I hear about truth. I hear how God is true. Matter of fact, you know, Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Jesus was talking about truth, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm going to leave that church service and I'm going to think, you know what? I better start being true. I better be true to my wife. I better be true to my family. I better be true to my pastor. I better be true to my employer and everybody else, even if they aren't true to me. Hey, I'm not going to heaven for you or going to hell for you. I'm going for me. I've got to be true. And people say, well, I'll sit at home tonight because I want to watch TV or something. Because I'll tell you what, I need to go learn about truth. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to think about being true. What happens to honesty? What happened to honesty in our country? What happened to honesty? It's gone. I mean, it is so... I stopped looking at the news. It's just half-truths. Biased. You can't trust it. Lies. God's looking for truth. Listen to what he said in Psalm 15, a Psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Here's the answer. Verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Oh. He that backbiteth not with his tongue nor doeth evil to his neighbor. This is the kind of person God's looking for. I know this is talking about, well, Lord, who's going to be the priest? Who's going to be the preacher? You know, we're all preachers. We're all priests. The Bible says we're all kings and priests. This applies to everyone, every one of us. If you're in the church, this applies to you. God is saying, be truthful. Truth. You know, well, if I be truthful, they'll take advantage of me. If I am truthful, the truth hurts. You know, the only time when the truth hurts is probably the time that somebody's doing evil. And there's a lot of wickedness. I'm not saying you don't have to have tact. That's a different trait. Be truthful. Amen. What about all these other things? Righteousness, God's righteousness and His justice. You know, we can never attain unto God's righteousness. God is holy. He alone is holy. But you know what? He made a way that we can. I learn about righteousness when I go to church. And I realize, hey, God expects me to be righteous. God expects me to be just, to be fair. How would I ever know to be fair, to be right, if I didn't go to church? Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Amen. Speaking of righteousness, I just want to say, you know what? We're not righteous. But you know, God has made a way that we could be righteous. You know, think of it like this. We're not righteous, but we put on a righteousness robe. You know, God has a robe of righteousness for you. Amen. We put on righteousness. We put on holiness. It's not us. We're not, you know, we're just mortal, sinful, flesh. All we have to do is say, God, come into my life. Lord, come with your presence. Lord, wash me in a baptism. Wash away my sins, Lord. And you know what the Lord does? He puts on a robe of righteousness. He puts on a robe, amen, of holiness. You can't get this robe on Amazon. That's why I go to church. Amen. This altar is open. If you want to come and pray, if you want to say, God, tell me again why I go to church. I like it how, I think it was Brother Randy, maybe it was Pastor. Every church, we need to have an altar call. Why? How can we afford not to have an altar call? You have heard the word. What are you going to do with it? You know, the altar call is your decision. It's our chance to say, God, I want these things. I want your word. I want some faith. I want more of you. Come into my heart today. Renew me today.
Let me
righteousness around me. Lift me up. I can be a